AK. I don't know if you are following me on Twitter. If you have one, my handle is A as in A as alpha, K in kilo, 17033. So that's AK 17033. That is my Twitter handle. I only have 7 followers, and I don't even think they've listened to my podcast. So I'm trying to build up the Twitter as well. So I know you guys want to hear me talk about this, the coronavirus. Okay, so basically, I have been following the president, watching his briefings, press conferences, and I've also been following up, watching my governor's reaction. So today, if anybody watched President Trump's briefing, he actually extended the guidelines until April 30th. And people are really upset about that. But I'm like, would you rather die or, you know, keep up with these guidelines? One thing that I know about Trump is that he's a businessman. So I know that him making these decisions is probably freaking him out because the economy is not doing well. The money is not being spent. So, which is understandable that he would feel that way. But the fact that he went ahead and extended it shows that, you know, he's listening to the advice of the experts that he has alongside him. So with my governor, I live in Indiana, if you guys didn't know, and my governor put a stay at home. He's not calling it shelter in place. He's calling it stay at home order. And he put that in effect last week, and it's supposed to be over April 6th, but I don't think it will, since the president said for the country to be following the guidelines until April 30th. I was looking at the stats for my state. And so our first case, I'm reading this, by the way, I'm not giving you fake news. Our first case in the state of Indiana was March 6th. The first death was March 16th. So from that time frame, let's say March 6th to March 30th, 29th, whatever, we have 1,514 cases and we have 32 deaths. So that's a lot of people within a short amount of time. And one thing that the experts were telling the president, that have been telling him, you know, it's going to get worse. And he even noted that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And my mom and I were discussing this the other day, and she said, I think it's getting worse because people are leaving New York and the other states where there's a lot of cases, and they're probably bringing them to other states. I didn't even think about it like that. But I've been in my house. I don't have a job, if you guys remember, so me being in my house like all day, every day, that's what I do anyway, so I'm not affected by it. But yeah, so coronavirus, it wasn't, you know, a big deal in Indiana because, you know, being in the Midwest, nobody really interacted with other people that would do like international travel type stuff. But now that it's here, it's becoming a serious deal, and our governor is kind of freaking out like everybody else. It's kind of upsetting me that people are talking bad about the president, the governors, like everybody that's responding to this or is in charge of something to do with the coronavirus. People are talking bad about them. My thing is, we have never seen anything like this. So the way these people are handling it, it might be bad, quote unquote, but there's no precedent. So with our governor, though, people complain that he didn't do things fast enough because Illinois and Ohio did a stay-at-home order or whatever they did, you know, a couple weeks before him, and they felt like he should be on the same track because we're by each other. But again, I mean, it's unprecedented, and I feel like, you know, especially with the president, that he's trying. I think he's trying to look out for the American people, and I believe that wholeheartedly, because if he wasn't, he wanted the government to be open by April 12th, which is Easter, I think. I don't even know. I think it's Easter. My days jumble together. And the fact that he really wanted that, and he's saying, no, I'm going to follow the experts, we're going to extend the guidelines to April 30th, that means that he does have the American people at heart. So money is not as important as people's lives. And I think he kind of said that in some of his briefings, that he was more concerned about people's lives than he was money or the economy, because basically if people die, there is no money or economy because people are dead. So I think that's all for the coronavirus part. So one thing that I've been doing is I've been watching different YouTube videos of different, you know, political commentators, just regular everyday people making videos, and they're so fun and they have so many views. And I really thought about doing it and I was like, nope, there's a reason I'm on Anchor. There's a reason I do a podcast. I want to be anonymous. So maybe one day in the future I would reveal myself, but for right now I want to stay anonymous. So Anchor is where it's at, and also Twitter. I've been kind of using Twitter a little bit, you know, just posting pictures about random stuff in my life. So I did that. Let's see, I actually wrote down bullet points to talk about, because if you've been listening, I like to ramble a lot. So I commend you if you've actually listened to my entire podcast. I commend you, because I know I ramble a lot about foolishness or whatever, and it just gets, it's a mess. So I actually wrote down bullet points. So my first bullet point was coronavirus and the president and the governor's responses. I talked about that. So my next bullet point, part of the reason why I am just so lazy and exhausted, if you guys remember, I am in an accelerated PhD program, and it's really, really tough. A PhD program, the one I'm doing, it's in social policy, and basically, it's this degree program is going to be, it's research. It's literally research. That's the whole program. So I've been having to do, you know, 15-page papers, just ridiculous. And so today I submitted one. It was only 10 pages, but it was still a lot. So I'm still trying to struggle. And this is a new class. This is week 2 of my second class. So that's kind of why I've been kind of lazy when it comes to podcasts, because I don't really feel like talking, I guess, and just doing it. But here I am. So that was one point. Another point, oh, it's talking about school closings. So a lot of schools around the country have, you know, closed down. There's some schools I've heard of in like Kansas, I think, that have closed the schools for the rest of the year. For Indiana, our governor said to do it until April 6th because with our, the way our schools are set up, a lot of our schools have what's called a balanced calendar. So they go to school for 9 weeks and have a 2-week break. So for instance, some schools had a 2-week spring break. So April 6th was the first day back to school for those who have that 2-week spring break. But I saw that he said to extend it until May 1st. So now there's the issue of, is there a point in going back to school? Because the school system that I worked for, I think they get out like June 3rd or June 4th. So it's about a month after that. But there's some schools that get out like May 22nd. So it's like, is there really a point to going back to school? So I'm not really sure, but I do know that the Secretary of Education or the Superintendent of Instruction, I don't remember the name of the title, to be honest, the person in charge of education in Indiana has waived all of the standardized tests, which is fantastic because they suck anyway and kids hate taking them. And I feel like it's not an accurate measure of your knowledge because I'm a horrible test taker, but beside the point. So that's waived as well, but we have the issue of prom and graduation. I mean, there's people that are just really freaking out about that, and I feel so bad because I'm like, you know, if you're grad, I don't even know when this is supposed to open back up. I mean, April 30th is the new deadline he gave us, but I mean, I don't know, but most people's proms is like during that time, during the, you know, the next couple weeks. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen with the proms and the graduations. You know, some colleges, I think one of the colleges actually canceled their graduation. And I'm just like, that's really messed up. But I mean, it is what it is. So, and also I was thinking about, you know, people's weddings. People, you know, having a wedding during this time and that type of thing. And I'm just like, this is just really horrible. I feel so bad for, you know, everybody in the country. It just, this is just ridiculous. And then the people dying, you know, and I'm still kind of annoyed that some people still aren't taking this seriously. They keep saying it's a hoax or whatever. My thing is, if it's a hoax, why are people dying? Why is it spreading? Why are people getting sick? It is spreading very rapidly. And if the president of the United States and the experts with the CDC and his other doctors on his team are saying that this is a real thing, it's not a hoax, What more do you need to believe? Do you have to get coronavirus for you to believe that it's real? So, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of annoying with that. And it's like, just stay in the house. Just be quiet. Just, you know, just stay in there. Just sit down, be quiet, watch Game Show Network, you know, whatever. And I was reading that some people are freaking out about their constitutional rights. They're talking about their First Amendment right is being infringed upon by the government telling them that they can't assemble with more than 10 people. And people were actually freaking out about that. Like, they're concerned about the government suppressing their rights. And I'm like, the government, the job of the government is to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of its citizens. The government is supposed to protect you. So the guidelines that they're giving, I mean, they're not forcing you to do it. I mean, they're not, it's not, you know, where they're taking people to jail and forcing them to do it, but there's a reason for that. So I kind of feel like if that's what you want to do, go ahead and just keep living your life as usual. If your kids get sick, you get sick, you know, I don't want to hear it. But people were talking about that, and I'm like, it made me think about when I taught history, U.S. history, and my kids and I, we did an opinion. A lot of people probably have done this too. It was about Americans giving up safety. No, I'm saying this wrong. Giving up privacy. Giving up privacy for safety and security. And basically giving up your constitutional rights for the greater good. So one thing, the kids, they weren't even born during this time, but we talked about 9/11 and how after 9/11, TSA was created. You know, they had the invasive test. They're like x-raying your body, like looking at your body, like patting you down. And it's really an invasive procedure to get on an airplane. But people aren't complaining. Well, they're not complaining a lot because it's the government protecting you. So it's like you're giving up, I guess, your right to privacy for the government to protect you. So it's like, would you rather have the government x-ray your body and, you know, wand you and pat you down? And you know, suppress a terrorist attack? Or would you rather the government just leave you alone and you get on a plane and there's a bomb and it blows up? So it's that kind of thing. I mean, that's really a really extreme example to use for the coronavirus thing. But I just feel like, I mean, that's what it is. If the government doesn't protect you, it's not doing its job. That's the whole point of having government, to provide law and order, you know. And then our form of government, a democracy, well, a democratic republic, our form of government, we have the ability to vote because we're not a dictatorship. So the citizens are the ones that vote to put the people in office that, you know, take care of us, look out for our best interests. So the thing with that is, if you're upset about this, all you have to do is just vote these people out. So if your governor is really upsetting you right now, the election, I know Indiana's election got pushed back to June 2nd, I think. But if he's really, you know, upsetting you about this, instead of just talking crap about him on Facebook, when you go to the voting booth, don't vote for him. Vote for his opponent. And it's like, sometimes I hear people complain about this kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, well, who did you vote for, you know, this time? Maybe vote for somebody different. And they're like, oh, I didn't vote. I kind of feel like if you don't vote, you really don't have a say. I mean, it might be harsh, but that's exactly how I feel. You can't complain about something if you didn't take any steps to change it. So if I hate my governor, but I didn't vote the last election that got him into office, I shouldn't really complain about it because there's no justification. And some people say that your vote doesn't matter. When it comes to local elections, your vote matters 100%, federal as well, but local directly affects you. Like, for instance, the governor that people are upset with right now, when our election happens in June, they can vote him out. So it's like the people would speak. They would speak and say, hey, we're not happy with what you did during this coronavirus outbreak. We're going to vote you out and just call it a day. So I feel like as a democratic republic, that's what citizens should do, not on Facebook starting a whole bunch of drama and foolishness. I went off topic. I started talking about Corona again. My whole point was the school closings. So back to school closings. So I have been on Facebook. Well, I mean, my Facebook is my real identity. Maybe I should say it on Twitter. I might have said on Twitter too that I will be available to tutor any students. If a parent has a kid in, you know, middle school, high school, and they're taking social studies, you know, so government, U.S. history, world history, economics, psychology, sociology, etc. If they're doing one of those classes and they struggle and they need some help from a teacher, I will help the student. I will help out parents. I'm not going to charge because that's dumb. Nobody has any money. You know, this has nothing to do with money. It's for the greater good. So I will definitely be able to tutor people if they want to do that. So if anybody's listening and you know somebody who wants to be tutored or needs it or some explanation about what's going on right now or whatever it is, you know, just send me a message and then I will, you can DM me on Twitter as well, now that I have a Twitter. So you could use those two ways to contact me on Twitter and on Anchor, and I'll be able to, you know, help out whoever needs help. Because as Americans, during a time of crisis, we are supposed to band together and unite ourselves as Americans. And that's kind of why we're having this issue as well. Our country has been so divisive. It's ridiculous. Over the last, I don't know, maybe 15 years or so. I'm trying to think. I can't think that far back. And it's been so divisive. And the more divisive it gets, the worse it gets for the citizens. Because what united us as Americans, you know, freedom, justice, liberty, those traditional American values, and now we're focusing on politics is so partisan right now, it's ridiculous. Nobody can get anything done, so the government's, you know, unproductive, you know, inefficient, just a broken system for the most part. And then the people as well, the people, from what I've seen, are focusing on things that really shouldn't matter because you're an American. I mean, I understand, you know, the whole, the gay rights movement, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, I don't want to say Me Too movement, because it's like, there's a, not just the Me Too, it's the women's movement in general. So different movements, I understand those movements, but I feel like what that's doing is dividing the country even more. Because I feel like gay people have existed since the beginning of time. So in America, gay people is nothing new. So it's like all of a sudden, you know, why shouldn't it's been a while actually since this started, but let's say recent years, you know, 10 years or so, it's up and, you know, gay marriage and gay rights and then the Black Lives Matter movement, all these different things. I feel like it's bringing attention to a specific group and I feel like it's alienating everybody else. Do I understand why there's gay rights movement, why there's Black Lives Matter movement, why there's women? Of course I understand. I understand all of that, but I feel like as Americans, we have to unite together somehow. So if I'm up protesting, I'm a Black Lives Matter or gay rights protester, I am dividing myself further away from the citizens of the country. I mean, some people probably don't think about that or they don't care, which is kind of sad. As an American, you should care, because we're one of the few countries in the world that there is no ethnic identity. You know, when you think Sweden, you think blonde hair, blue-eyed. Everybody's, you know, blonde hair, blue-eyed, white. When you think American, you can think of anybody because there is no ethnic or racial component that everybody has. So it's like, in the beginning, what, you know, united us was the principles of freedom, justice, liberty. You know, basically come to the United States and you're able to accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. Basically do whatever you want to do as long as you're not breaking any laws. Nobody's going to hold you back from, you know, trying to succeed or that type of stuff. And it's like now we're upset about other issues. I feel like, I don't know, now I think I'm starting to sound a little dumb now. But I guess I'm just kind of thinking out loud at this point. But I just feel like the issues that we're focusing on, it's making the country more divided. And my thing is, like, I would love to figure out a way how to bring us back together. But I'm only one person, but I have no idea. And I kind of feel like with 9/11 in 2001, we weren't at the point where we are now when it comes to division. But I remember 9/11, you know, when the terrorist attack happened, I saw American flags everywhere. I saw people of all colors, races, religions, genders, Everybody was waving the American flag. Everybody was united together as an American. And it was kind of sad, you know, it had to take a crisis, like a terrorist attack, for us to unite as Americans. And I kind of naively thought that maybe that would happen this time with the coronavirus, but apparently it's having the opposite reaction. I mean, I don't know. I feel like we shouldn't have some type of terrorist attack or national crisis to unite us together as Americans. So it's like, what do we do? How do we do that? How do we come back? How do we fix that? And you have people saying that, you know, they hate America. They hate America. They hate the president. They hate all the stuff about America, this, this, and this. And then you'll say something like, well, leave and go somewhere else. Well, I don't want to go anywhere else. I don't know anywhere else. Really? So I feel like it's okay to criticize your country. You know, that's, you have the freedom to do that. You know, criticize your country, express your frustrations, but don't be an idiot. If you're going to sit there and say you hate the country, you hate the president, you hate all this kind of stuff, you hate the flag, why would you stay here? That sounds so stupid. It's like me saying, I hate the job I have. I hate my boss. I hate my coworkers. I hate the work I have to do, but I'm going to stay at that job. No, I'm going to quit and find another job. So I feel like people who are running their mouth about that, and again, I'm seeing this kind of stuff all over social media, and it's just really frustrating. It's like, just shut up and sit down. You know, if you really feel that way, just leave. Just go somewhere else, you know, because that doesn't make any sense for you to, I mean, I guess you can feel like that, you know, you can feel however you want, but to say it, to actually vocalize how much you hate your own country, the country that you were born and raised in, and you know nothing different, that just baffles me. I mean, and the thing is, when I look at people who say that, I'm like, well, have you ever left the United States before? And they're like, well, no. Well, how do you know that you hate this country so much and its other countries are better in the world if you've never even been outside of the United States? Of course, there's no answer to that. I've been to different countries around the world. I think I talked about my 10-day European trip in 2017 of spring break. So we went to 5 countries in Europe. We went to Switzerland, Spain, France, Italy, and Monaco. And one of the things that I noticed was, I don't want to say like the lack of freedom, but it wasn't the same type of freedom. Like, nobody stopped me from doing anything. But I mean, it's just simple things that Americans take for granted. Like, you might think this is really dumb, but there weren't any free refills. You had to pay for every water, every soda, everything you had to pay. And in the United States, we're just, hey, can I get another refill? And then it's free, you know, free soda, free water. Water doesn't even cost anything here. But over there, it was like, and then there's the group of people I was with. This was my sister. She was in, was she a junior? She was a junior then, and it was her trip or whatever. So I was kind of chaperoning with her and the other students. And one of the students asked one of the, I think we're in France, asked one of the vendors, and she said, can I have a refill? Do you offer refills? And the man said, what's a refill? Is that an American drink? I just fell out laughing. And then once we explained to him what a refill was, he said, oh, no, we don't do refills. You gotta pay again. So just something simple like that. I mean, it's like people, Americans don't think about the things that we have, we just take for granted. Like, that sounds really silly, but it's something, it's legit. So for instance, if tomorrow you tried to get a soft drink or water or whatever it was, and people tried to charge you, wouldn't you feel some type of way about that? You can't tell me no, you'd be lying if you were. You usually get a cup of water for free, and I have to pay $3 for a cup of water. So it's just something like that. That's the first example that came to my mind about, you know, something that's different in other countries. And I feel like other countries are really great. It was really nice to experience a different culture. But to be honest, I couldn't wait to come back home. Some other things I noticed was, I've read this before, that Americans are like the friendliest people on earth or something like that. How we always smile. You can tell somebody's an American because the way they smile, just, you know, good morning, hey, how you doing? So one thing, it was so awkward. Those countries we went to, nobody smiled. Nobody really interacted with each other. It was just kind of, you just, you know, just keep going. The people who noticed we were Americans would kind of come smiling, like talk to us. But when it came to interacting with each other, you know, they walk by each other. They're not saying good morning. They're not smiling. They're just walking. And I'm just like, I can't, I wouldn't be able to do that. You know, I didn't grow up like that. So just something as simple as that, that I couldn't wait to come back home to where people would smile at me and say good morning. Just something as simple as that. I wasn't like offended or anything that they weren't doing it. And if we did speak to people, like, you know, they weren't rude, they said something back if they could speak English. Or even if they didn't speak English, some of them, you know, tried to say hello or hi in English. But it was just awkward. It was just uncomfortable to be just walking down the street, nobody smiling, no good morning, no wave, you know, no acknowledgement or anything. So again, that's probably another silly example of a freedom here. I guess it's not really a freedom. It's a culture, traditional culture or whatever. One thing that I also noticed was Americans are obese for a reason. When I went over to those countries, I was only full one time. Out of the whole 10 days, I was only full one time. Those portions are ridiculously small. I mean, that's kind of why I didn't see any fat people that were, you know, that weren't Americans. Everybody else was skinny. And the portions were so small. And I'm just looking at the food like, is this the appetizer? Oh no, that was the dinner. And then the dessert is like a fork full of pudding or something. I'm like, what? So that was kind of something too, that, you know, we were all hungry, so we kind of stopped at the vendors or whatever. There's one vendor, I got a speculoos crepe. And if you don't know what speculoos is, here we call it cookie butter, I think is what it's called. But it was delicious. The man didn't speak English and I didn't speak French, but we did some hand gestures, you know, we pointed and got it done, and it was delicious. But the only time that I was full, I think we were in Italy. And we had dinner in the hotel. It was a hotel catered dinner. And we were only full because the caterers knew that we were Americans and they knew we liked to eat. So they kept coming around, giving us more pasta. And I'm trying to think, we had some vegetables too, but just coming around, just, you know, more than one helping. And at one point, you know, we're like, hey, we're full. And they're like, good, we want to make sure the Americans are full. So that was the only time that I was actually, you know, full. And it was kind of funny because when we came back home, there were, I'm trying to think, maybe like 80 or so of us on the trip. So when we came back home, we met at the high school that we left from. And so we're leaving, and the first thing we're doing is like, I want something to eat. I want a cheeseburger. I want something that's really unhealthy right now. And we got back kind of late. The restaurants around here are, for the most part, 24 hours. And so we got back kind of late, maybe like 9 or 10. So my family and I were driving to go get something to eat, and the restaurants are by each other. So you got Chick-fil-A, you know, Starbucks. Nobody gets food from Starbucks, like food. Chick-fil-A, White Castle, McDonald's, Wendy's, Steak and Shake. So when we pulled up, I was like, I want Wendy's. When we turned to go into the area where the restaurants are, every single restaurant's drive-through was full of cars. And as we drove by, we could see it was people from the trip because we had the shirts on still. And we just started cracking up because we were all starving and wanted something to eat. So again, something as simple as that, being able to eat. And again, if you ask for more, you have to pay for everything. There, apparently you have to pay to use the restroom in different places in Europe. So our tour guides were awesome and they took us to places where they had free restrooms. Because like the public restrooms, you know, kind of like the porta potties or whatever, just like off to the side or whatever, you had to pay. I think it was, how many euros was it? I don't remember. It was, you know, a little bit. And so we were able to go to the free restrooms inside different venues or different places we were at. So something as simple as that. I mean, free refills, a full portion size, you know, free restroom. Those are things that Americans take for granted. So it's like, now that's my experience from 5 different European countries. I don't really know about the rest of the world, but it's like just simple things like that. I mean, I should like counter these people. Hey, you hate America. Well, do you want to pay for an extra drink? Do you want to pay $3 for a bottle of water? Do you want to pay to get into the restroom? You know, do you want to pay to have bigger portions? Just things like that. And I know Americans are spoiled. And then we talked to some of the people, and some of them have been to the States, And they were like, wow, your country is, everything is so big. And they said, even the smallest big. So they showed us like their biggest, you know, cup sizes or whatever. And I want to say, if I remember correctly, the biggest cup size they had was maybe our medium. Maybe, I'm trying to remember, maybe the medium that we have here. That's how small stuff was. It was just like miniature, just everything. Now, of course, it felt like that for us because we're used to, you know, big old Americans, you know, a super size, you know, plate of food, all this kind of stuff. So, but it was a very interesting experience. It was a humbling experience too. And I really enjoyed it. So if you've never been outside the country, I recommend you do it. Go somewhere. And also, if you keep spouting foolishness about hating the country, hating the president, hating the government, hating all this kind of stuff, and you've never been out of the country, go to another country. Please leave. Just go to another country and see if you feel the same way. Again, go to France and see if paying $3 for a bottle of water at a restaurant is worth leaving the United States because you hate the country so much. We had to pay for, you know how like at restaurants here, the waiter will give you a water. Like, I'll start you guys off with some water. Well, over there, we asked for water and they're like, it's $3 or euros or whatever. We did use euros. And we're just kind of looking like, it's not free. And they're like, free? Why would it be free? So yeah, we had to kind of cut down on water because we didn't know that it wasn't free until, you know, they said it's not free. And I'm just like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to have any water right now. So I totally went off topic again, but I mean, it is what it is. The last thing that I had on my list is the stimulus package. So the stimulus package, as you guys know, if you've been paying attention, which I think most people have, this is like the biggest stimulus package in U.S. history or something like that. And it's, what is it, $2.2 trillion? I don't want to do fake news. Let me check. Yeah, $2.2 trillion. And the money is going to go to, you know, small businesses, different companies, you know, workers that are, you know, out of work, families. And I'm trying to think. Who, like, it's a bunch of like hospitals, like it's stuff added in there that's going to not just affect, you know, workers, but everybody. Like, hospitals definitely need more funding right now. You know, they need more beds. I was reading about, you know, having portable hospitals, like Navy ships are using their ships to create hospitals, that type of thing. Now, it's gonna be kind of hard to do that, to build hospitals, which is why they're doing the portable ones. So I know that a lot of money is going to go for that as well. And if I remember correctly, I think that, I mean, I don't really want to look at it that hard because it's probably taking a minute for me to find it, but I think if I remember correctly that Mitt Romney said something about some type of $1,000 check or just some type of stuff to help the American people. And if I remember correctly, it was Trump's idea to do the stimulus package. I think. I really don't want to do fake news right now. But I think it was his idea to do the stimulus package. And he obviously signed it into law. The Senate vote was 96-0. So literally every single senator that was able to vote, voted for it. I think it was Rand Paul has coronavirus, and it was two others that like quarantined themselves or whatever. That's why it was 96. And so, you know, it was partisan, or bipartisan, my bad. They all voted for it and Trump signed it. But I was reading something about the people saying that President Trump shouldn't have signed it. And it's the Democrats, and he just felt like he had to sign it because the Democrats wanted it, and Democrats wanted to give people all this kind of foolishness. And I'm like, bro, it was his idea to do it. Not only that, but if it was an issue, you wouldn't have had every single Republican senator agree to it. So I didn't like what they were saying. I mean, I think they were the ones also saying about their rights being infringed upon. So, but I'm like, isn't that what happened? I mean, you guys can look and tell me if I'm wrong, but I thought that's what happened, that it was Trump's idea to do something for the American people, and he took the idea to Congress and they ran with it, if I remember correctly. So I'm thinking, him signing, and the thing is, like, he didn't have to sign it. I mean, that's your ability as a president. You don't have to sign stuff in the law, but I'm thinking, if it's your idea to sign, to present it, wouldn't you want to sign it? But I don't know, I just thought that was weird that people said that, because I'm like, did you check? I don't know how many in the House voted yes, because I'm trying to think, do the Democrats still control the House? I think they do. But I mean, I know a lot of people voted for, but of course the Senate's the vote that matters. If you know anything about checks and balances, separation of powers, the Senate has the ultimate say, which is why Trump's impeachment proceedings ended with the Senate, because the Senate has the power and they said no. Anyway, so the House obviously voted for it to go to the Senate, but I mean, every single senator said yes, so I don't understand why, I don't know, why people are still trying, oh, the Democrats and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, just shut up and get your check, you know, enjoy your money when it comes. But my question, I think President Trump or somebody was kind of saying a little bit how they would disperse it. I think it might have been the president. I think he was saying something about tax returns from last year or something like that. If you have direct deposit, you'll get it. And then if not, you'll get a check in the mail. But my thing is, what about people who are unemployed voluntarily? Like, I quit my job as a teacher. I quit my teaching job in December to, you know, focus on this accelerated PhD program. I obviously filed taxes last year because I had a job. So I'm like, would I still get the money even though I don't have a job? And I'm, it's like voluntarily me not having a job. So, I mean, I'm living off student loans, but $1,200 would be great, you know, for me to add into my account, but I am living off student loans, so I'm fine financially. I wouldn't have quit my job if I didn't have a plan that would work. That'd be stupid. So I don't know about the whole check thing. So I mean, if anybody knows, you know, let me know. And I did do my taxes. I did direct deposit last year. So I mean, I'll be able to, you know, get the money. I guess I'll see if it's there whenever the checks start coming out. But oh, speaking of taxes, so taxes are extended until July 15th for federal, and I know that the state of Indiana is as well. I'm not sure if every single state is doing it. It would probably make sense to extend it to July 15th since the federal government is extending it to July 15th. So I'll go ahead and tell you guys what happened this year with my taxes. So I'm an idiot, apparently. The job that I left, when I filled out my paperwork, I don't remember doing this. It was online, so it sounds kind of shady anyway. Apparently, I clicked to not take taxes out. And I'm like, why in the heck would I click that? Like, why would I do that? So when I got my tax W-2 information this year, I completely forgot about it happening last year. I meant to get it fixed, you know, before this year, and I completely forgot until I got the W-2 and I saw, you know, income withheld is zero. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So, but now I quit, you know, I can't do anything about it, you know, checks over or whatever. So basically I have to pay the government, like, I think it's like $3,400. That's for the federal. I have to pay the state like $150. And that's a lot of money, especially if you don't have a job. And I was gonna contact the feds and do some type of payment plan, you know, because April 15th, but once they extended it to July 15th, I'll be able to pay it off because I get the next installment of my student loan in June. So with that next installment, I hope I have enough money to pay it. I should, because then I get my next installment in September. So yeah, I should have enough money to pay it. But so I feel like an idiot. So if you guys have a job, make sure you're getting federal taxes taken out of your check. If you're not, you're going to end up like me and have to pay the money. So please, most people probably make sure. I don't know how. I just, again, I was just an idiot. Okay, how about this? I'm a social studies teacher, not a math teacher. That's dumb, but whatever. So again, if you have W-2, you have a job, and you haven't filed taxes yet, please look at it. And if you see that no taxes were taken out, or you don't think it was enough or whatever, please talk to your HR and get it fixed so you won't have the same problem next year, especially if you have a new job. please, please, I'm begging you, please, I don't want you to have to pay back money. Me paying back $3,400 is nothing. I've heard people had to pay back, you know, like $10,000. I'm like, how the heck do you have to pay back $10,000? I don't know. But, so don't do it. Let's see. Talked about the coronavirus, talked about class. I think that's it, actually. Okay, well, I'm not going to keep rambling on for no reason. How long is this? It's only 40 minutes. That's fantastic. So, I commend you if you actually listen to the entire podcast. That's wonderful, and I appreciate you. Whether or not you, you know, contact me, I can see the views. So, like I saw from my last one, I had four listens. And I appreciate those four people. I appreciate anybody who takes the time to listen. And again, my Twitter handle is AK1033. Did I say that right? AK10. I'm slow. Okay. AK17033. Okay. I'm sleepy. If you couldn't tell, I was working on that paper for 6 hours straight. A is in alpha, K is in kilo, and that is my Twitter handle. So if you would like to follow me on Twitter and interact with me that way, that would be fantastic. But if not, I will talk to you next time.